Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Amen. What are we talking about around here on Wednesday nights? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. The Bible says, "For he who cometh unto God must not only believe that He exists, but that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him through His Word and by faith." Amen? Well, hallelujah. Last time we were together, we talked about how to believe with your heart. Amen? And we discovered from the Word of God, some of us it was review, some of us it was a discovery, it was a revelation, right? To believe God with your heart means to ignore your head and your circumstances and to say and do what the Word says. Amen? Ignore your circumstances and say and do what the Word says. Now, I'm not saying if you're sick, don't go to the hospital. So please don't ever go and say that I'm one of those nutty faith teachers, because I'm not. If you don't have faith for healing, while you're building faith, a doctor and medication are the best friends you could possibly have. They're from God. Amen? Yeah. Doctors and medication are from God. It says it right in the Bible. It says right in the Bible that doctors and nurses and medication and medical technology are of God. Where does it say that in the Bible, Pastor? In James 1:17. It says, every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variableness, neither shadow of turning. If it's good, it's God. If it's bad, it's the devil. Doctors are good. Nurses are good. Medication is good. Medical technology is good. While you're learning to build your faith for divine healing. Amen? So when I say ignore your circumstances, I'm saying don't be walking around whining and bawling and complaining and squalling about what your circumstances look like. Say what the Word says. Your body will come in line with the Word. But keep taking your medication, if you're taking medication, until the doctor says, hey, I don't know what's going on here, but you don't need that anymore. Amen? Let the doctor tell you when to stop taking your medication. Or let the Holy Ghost tell you. Amen? If you're so inclined. Amen? I'm not telling you to stop taking medication. I told you before. I've known people just hear the word of faith, rip their glasses off, stomp them, and walk around half blind. They weren't ready to do that. And I tell you, if you wear glasses, keep them on till God heals your eyes. And especially, if you don't want to wear them before you're healed, don't come driving through our neighborhood. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. So, listen, some people think they're in faith when really they're in presumption. They don't have faith for healing yet. Faith comes how? You can't just hear for the first time that Jesus is a healer and say, I believe that, and think you have faith for healing. Because you don't. You believe it, but you don't have faith for it. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing. And hearing. And hearing. Amen? So, we talked about last time we were together how to believe with your heart. It means to just ignore your head and your circumstances. Say what the Word says. And your circumstances and your body, if it's your body or your finances or your family, will ultimately come in line if you keep speaking the solution to the problem. That's what Jesus said. Amen? We're going to talk about that tonight. Go to Mark 11, if you would, please, real quick. We're going to be talking about words again. The message I have for you tonight, I suppose we could entitle it, Faith Believing Alone Isn't Enough. Amen? Talking about the power of words one or two times isn't enough to get the job done. Amen? This is a subject that needs to be taught and pushed in deep. And so that's what we're going to do. I'm going to be talking to you about words again tonight, about the power of your words again tonight. We're going to talk about it next time we come together. And I fully anticipate, expect there'll be more people in these chairs every time we come together. Amen? Because we're growing in faith. Amen? We're not baby believers. Amen? We know how to operate out of faith. We know how to operate out of our spirits. We know how to say what God says. And God says, I'll fill the chairs. So let's say what God says. Amen? 1 year ago tonight, Brother Dykes, Reverend Jim Dykes, gave us that word. And in that word, he said to us, the Holy Spirit said through Brother Dykes, this is a man of God. Remember Brother Dykes? The man who went to the dentist in India to get a root canal and a crown put on his tooth. And the dentist took a picture of it and came back and showed him the picture and said, you've already had a root canal done and a crown put on your tooth. And Jim didn't know it. The Holy Ghost did it. He said, the Holy Ghost gave me a root canal and a crown. He's going to be coming here probably over the winter.
He sent us an email recently from India. And he said, Judy and I would really like to get up there and see you over the winter. Go out and minister on the islands. We'll have him preach when he's here. Amen? And then I'll hold his mouth open. We can all come and look in it. Amen? If he'll allow it. Do you believe that? The Holy Ghost did a root canal and put a crown on his tooth. He went to the dentist to have it done. The dentist said, it's already been done. Jim said, not to my knowledge it hasn't been. Hallelujah. He's a man of faith. He's a man of faith. Amen? And he spoke by the Spirit of God 1 year ago tonight, October 29th. Where were we? We're over at Yarmouth, the Econo Lodge, where? In Yarmouth, Massachusetts. Yarmouth. Yarmouth. Y-A-H-M-I-T-H. Yarmouth. In their hotel room the night before they were going home. He said, the Spirit of the Lord's put it on my heart to tell you, in 1 year's time, he's going to give you explosive growth. Thomas says, the Thomas kind of faith says, oh, I'll believe that when I see it. But the Abraham kind of faith says, no, you believe that and you'll see it. Do you believe? 1 year ago tonight, he said, the Spirit of the Lord would have me tell you in 1 year's time. 1 year ago tonight, October 29th, he said, the Holy Ghost told me to tell you in 1 year's time, he's going to give you explosive growth. I believe it. We've got to watch what we say about it, though. Amen? You know the gift of gab is the most expensive gift you can give somebody in this life? It can cost you everything if you don't watch what you say. Amen? Some people just love to talk and yak and yup it up, and they don't even know what they're saying half the time, and they're talking curses into their lives and into the lives of their friends and loved ones. Amen? We're going to talk about that tonight. We need to watch what we say. The gift of gab can cost you everything. Amen? We need to learn to synchronize our tongues with God's Word. Amen? You know how you synchronize your watches? Everybody do this. Synchronize your watch like you're synchronizing your watch. Amen. Now do this. Synchronize your tongue. Get in line with God's Word. Amen. Synchronize our tongues according to the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. How do we know we're in faith? Listen to the way we're talking. Pastor, how do I know if I'm in faith or not? I've had it asked of me so many times. I say, listen to the way you're talking. It's not a feeling. It's not goosebumps. It's the way you're talking. Are you speaking God's solution to the problem? Here we have again one of the most amazing revelations in all of Scripture, and most of Christianity is unacquainted with it. Right here after Jesus cursed the fig tweet, 24 hours previously, Pastor Tweety Pie up here. Right here, Jesus cursed the fig tree. 24 hours later, they walked by and Peter said, Master, look, the fig tree that you cursed is withered away. And Jesus said in verse 22, he answering saith unto them, have faith in God. Now we know that that means have the God kind of faith. That's the kind of faith that speaks the solution to the problem. And then verse 23, he explained to us how the God kind of faith works. Now you know this, you've been here through this series, amen? Verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, which is symbolic of what? A problem or an obstacle, amen? You find that in Zechariah 4:6 in the Amplified Bible. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain or problem, now this is God talking. May I take you back for a minute? Look what Jesus said at the beginning of verse 23. For verily I say unto you. You know you could change that and say, for verily God says to you. Who was Jesus? Who is Jesus? For verily God says unto you, whosoever shall say unto this mountain or problem, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You see that in your Bible? Everybody see that in your Bible? Now, as I said, the mountain is symbolic of a problem. Notice that God Notice that Jesus did not say, whosoever shall talk about the mountain to whoever will listen at the grocery store, on the telephone, or at the restaurant. Did he say that? He didn't say, whosoever shall talk about the mountain to whoever is willing to listen. He didn't say, whosoever shall complain about the mountain to God in prayer. Did he? Did he say, whosoever shall complain to the Father about the mountain in prayer? No, he didn't say that. He didn't say, whosoever shall ask God to please, please, please remove this mountain for me. Did he? Come on, I'm being dramatic up here for you tonight. Amen? He did not say, whosoever shall continually ask God, why is this mountain not moving? He said, whosoever shall say to the mountain, all the problem, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart that those things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Correct? Sometimes we can read the Bible over and over and never see certain things. Amen? But if we'll read it over and over, we will see things we've never seen before. Amen? The Bible is a continuing revelation. Amen? The Bible is a living book. It's a supernatural book. And this revelation from Jesus of having what we say has been in the Bible, in the New Testament, for as long as the New Testament's been available. But the overwhelming majority of believers in the earth aren't aware of this principle. But you are. And you know that God doesn't hold us accountable for things we don't know? But He does hold us accountable for things we do know? And you know it now. And you're going to be held accountable for it. And that's a good thing. God brought you to this place of revelation. He brought you to this place of increase concerning the power of the spoken word of God. Amen? He wants to turn the power volume up in your life. Amen? Some Christians are so hung up religiously on the believing part of Christianity, and they want nothing to do with the saying part of Christianity. They actually call it a cult. They call Brother Hagin the grandpappy of the Word of Faith cult. As if he wrote Mark 11:23. Jesus, if anybody is the granddaddy of the Word of Faith cult, it's Jesus. But this is not a cult, and Jesus is not a cult leader. Amen? Hallelujah. This is the precious, holy, written Word of God. Amen? We're not cultists. Jesus is not a cult leader. He said it, not us. He's the one who said it is not enough to believe. You've got to synchronize your tongue or your mouth with the precious, holy, written Word of God. You have got to speak solution to the problem. You've got to keep your words in line with your prayers. I had a vision one time before a service. A vision. I went into the Spirit and I had a vision. Y'all know what a vision was. I don't know if I was in a trance or if it was a spiritual vision. I don't know. The Lord knows. All I know is I was in the vision before a service just outside of Oklahoma City in Oklahoma. And in that vision, I saw a man digging a hole. He dug a hole about 2 feet deep, about a foot across. And then he dug another one. And he took the dirt from the second hole. He wasn't paying attention. And as he was digging the second hole, he's throwing the dirt into the first hole that he just dug. And I thought to myself, what's he doing? And then he dug another one. And the third one, he threw the dirt from the third one into the second one he dug. And he went right on down the line. He wasn't even looking back at the holes he had previously dug. He's just digging dirt and was going right into the holes behind him. I thought he must be, it's just a row of holes. He must be digging post holes. Amen? He must have a PhD. He must be a post hole digger. So he went down the row digging the holes. I didn't think that then. I made it as a joke later. He must have dug 20 or 30 holes. In every single hole he dug, he threw it into the dirt into the previous hole. All the way down the line until he got to the last hole he dug and he looked and every hole he dug was filled in. And I came out of the vision. And I said, Lord, what in the world was that? He said, the man's laboring in vain. He's praying one way and talking another. I got it right away. I don't know if you do. The hole symbolized his prayer. The dirt from the next hole symbolized filling in what he coming up behind the thing and canceling it. Laboring in vain. Not speaking according to the way he prayed. He'd dig a nice, good hole in prayer and then turn right around, fill it right in with the words of his mouth. And he labored in vain. Does that make sense to you? It made sense to me. I saw it as clear as a bell. The Lord said he's laboring in vain. That's what people do when they pray one way and then they speak against their prayers. You cancel it. You come up behind the thing with negative speech. You pray for healing. You pray for a financial need to be met or for a loved one to be saved. And you keep talking against it, talking against it. You're calling God a liar in essence without meaning to do it. And you're laboring in vain. Jesus didn't say you'll just have what you pray. He said you'll have what you what? Say. He said it. He said it, not me. Amen? It's not enough to believe. I'm going to offer you a challenge before we go any further tonight. I'm going to ask those who are in the room, over the next 11 days, to read this verse 23 times. Over the next 11 days. To read Mark 11, 23. 23 times over the next 11 days, and you'll be marked for life. Mark 11, 23. For the next 11 days, read it twice. Once in the morning, once at night. Amen? On the 11th day, read it three times. That'll be 23 times you read that. As I was meditating on the Word of God today, preparing for the service, the Lord put that on my heart. Ask them to read Mark 11, 23. 23 times over the next 11 days. And they'll be marked for life by it. It'll change your thinking radically in this area, if you'll do that. And every time you do that, you ask the Holy Spirit, show me, this is what I do when I meditate on the Word of God. I say, show me what you want me to see in here. I don't just get in there and just go after it, John boy, you know, like a pig after a pecan. I ask the Holy Spirit, show me what you want me to see in here, and what it is you want me to impart to these precious people. And he always does, amen? This information that I impart to you standing up here doesn't come from my head. It comes out of my spirit by the Holy Spirit. Goes right into your spirit. It's ordained for you for such a time as this. And the Holy Spirit put that on my heart to challenge you to read it. That one verse, Mark 11, 23. Read it 23 times over the next 11 days. It's not magic. It's not a formula. It's an inspired idea of the Holy Ghost. He wants to talk to you in it. He wants to show you some things in it that you've not seen previously. Amen? Now, you know right here in Mark 11, 23, we've been here before so many times together, and we're going to be coming back here. Amen? You're not going to get this one time around. Amen? Brother Hagin taught this for 65 years. 65 years. And someone walked up to Brother Hagin one time and said to him, you've been teaching on the power of words for 60 years. Just the power of words. She was complaining. You've been ministering on the power of words for 60 years. And he said, well, as soon as you get it down, we'll move on to something else. That's a good line. I know I shared it with you before, but we got to go over it and over it and over it because faith comes by hearing. Amen? Jesus told, I don't want to get ahead of myself. Let me just do it this way. Look at right here, Mark 11, 23 again. Get ready to do some circling. You know this verse talks three times about saying something and one time about believing something. Three times about saying something, one time about believing something. Verse 23, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say, circle that in your Bible, unto this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe, if you'll circle that, please, believe, that those things which he or she saith, circle that word saith, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Circle that. And you'll notice, many of you have already done this, amen? To some of you, it's brand new. You circled the word say in one form or another three times. You circled the word believe one time. You know what Jesus is saying here? He's saying, in order for our prayers to be answered, if we want our prayers to be answered expeditiously by the Spirit of God, we're going to have to be doing three times more saying than believing. Did you see that in there? You circled the word say or saith in one form or another three times and believe one time. Let me tell you how Dr. Hagen received the revelation of this verse that revolutionized charismatic Christianity in the 20th century. The man was a prophet of God. The man was sent into the earth as a teaching prophet of God. Oh, and I have to tell you, and I'm going to need my tissue for this because it brings a tear to my eye every time I hear it. I was reading on a website just recently that was just scathing, and it was denouncing Kenneth Hagin and Kenneth Copeland for their teachings on faith and their teachings on heaven is a planet. I don't know how I found my way onto that website. I was just studying. I oftentimes will go on the computer to my own website and study right off my own website. There's over 350 teaching articles on that website. I'll go over and study on my own website. Amen? Well, I somehow... That's okay, Maurice. I'll get that. That's all right. Thank you very much. I'm good. Yes, thank you. That's all right. Let's pay attention here now. Let me just... I was reading on a website. Let's just lift our hands and praise God right now. Soge peruga semen ruge de segi peregesho. Vradeso ke piramo no kose ki peregesho te kebre. Vramano se ki perrota saka parago segi peregesho te ke menegeste. Fradashto e menegeste e perodaso kamarota. Barbara, stand up here. Frando seki peroko saka parato semenegese de kipre. Hallelujah. Just lift your hands and praise him. Just lift your hands and praise him. Sengema no ko seki peredeshe de kaparadeo. Obreme negishando aparagase peredese. Vredo sanga mene ikitero. Braso ke peregeshe teke.
Does my word not say that I inhabit your praises? And when I inhabit your praises, that means I come on the scene and I'm the solution to anything that you might be facing. So make it a point. Make a point of praising me because I want to work things out for you. I want to work things out for you when it looks like nothing could possibly work out for you. But in praising me, I will be on the scene. And when I'm on the scene, I bring solution with me.
Boro sheki peradoshe manase, ebretesta, ego pero me sheki pero to samba, ebera sevre eshogo paradesete.
And I want to be on the scene to bring solution because I love you, and because you have others that you love, that you want to share solution with. I love you, I love you, I love you. Praise me, and let my love work for you every day in every way.
Hallelujah. Just thank him for that. Just thank him for that. So gaparoto se ki perigiste, gambero doshe ki perigesho te kim beredista, framano se ki paradeshte. The reason I asked Maurice to now pick that up was because it knocked everything out of order and I knew how to put it back together. But I appreciate you doing that. You didn't do anything wrong. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sage peroto semerege de kisha regesha te keshte. I was telling you that Brother Hagin and Brother Copeland, they were being just absolutely just denounced on this website. As I read, you know, and I don't normally read stuff like that. I'll just ignore it. The internet is loaded with hateful comments and rude insults and lying deception by other Christian people concerning the Copelands and the Hagins. I don't normally read it, but for some reason I read along, and I'm reading along in there, and all of a sudden the person who wrote this scathing, hateful article about these men of faith began to write about what did they call that other, that third individual, the graduate of Brother Hagin's?
The graduate of the Pope.
Oh yeah, they called him Brother Hagin the Pope of Faith. And then they begin to just tear apart one of the graduates from the Pope's Bible school, one of the Pope's mentors named Pastor John Hamill from Cape Cod, Massachusetts. How in the world I ever get on that website
with Kenneth Hagin, and God, it brings a tear to my eye to know that I've arrived in the big leagues. Hallelujah. He is not the granddaddy of the Word of Faith message. He's not the Pope of the Word of Faith message. Amen. The man's a prophet of God. And I want to tell you here how Brother Hagin received the revelation of this verse that absolutely revolutionized charismatic Christianity in the 20th century. Some of you might know it. Some of you might not. You'd be interested in hearing it. Brother Hagin, when he was 15 years old, he was bedridden and he was crippled. And he took Mark 11:23 without even knowing what he was doing, and he meditated on it and read it to himself over and over as a 15-year-old boy thousands of times, he said, laying in that bed. That one verse, thousands of times he read it. 15 years old. His pastor gave up on him, wouldn't even come visit him anymore. His pastor said he's going to be dead soon anyway. There's no sense visiting him. What kind of a pastor is that? Amen. He just got a hold of the Bible, and he meditated on it for thousands of times, over and over again. And he received a healing through it without going into that. You probably have heard me tell that testimony before. Well, here he is now, jump up into the future, probably about 6 or 8 years, and he's pastoring a church in Texas. And he's laying on his back, with nobody in there. He's in there in the church. He lived in the parsonage beside the church and would go into the church to pray. Laying on his back, meditating on Mark 16:15-20, not Mark 11:23. You get that? Mark 16:15-20. And these signs shall follow those who believe in my name. They'll cast out unclean spirits. They'll speak with new tongues if they take up serpents. That's what he's meditating on. Laying on his back on the altar. Just a boy pastor. And all of a sudden, he heard a voice come up in his spirit and say to him, have you ever noticed in Mark 11:23 that the word say is in that verse three times in one form or another, and the word believe is only in there once? He said, I sat bolt upright. I'm meditating on Mark chapter 16, and here this voice came out of my own spirit and spoke to me about Mark 11:23. And he said, it was the Lord, he knew. And he said, no, Lord, I never knew that. I read that verse thousands of times since I was a teenage boy, and I never noticed it said that. He picked it up and he opened it, and he read it to himself. And he saw, you know, it does. It says, be thou cast into the sea, say unto this mountain, shall believe those things which you say shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. He said, it does, Lord. Like the Lord needed him to tell him it was really in there. But that's how it came to him. And he read it, and the Lord said to him after he read it, the Lord said these words. He said, my people are not missing it primarily in their believing. What they're missing is in their saying. This is a quote that Jesus said to him when he spoke to him that day. Did you get he was meditating on Mark 16 and the Lord suddenly said to him, you noticed in Mark chapter 11, three times more saying, one time believing? And Brother Hagin said, I meditated on that thousands of times. I never noticed that. It does say that, Lord. And the Lord came right back and said, my people are not missing it primarily in their believing. Where they are missing it is in their saying. They've been taught to believe, but faith must be released in words through your mouth. This is Jesus talking to the prophet. You know the Bible says in 2 Chronicles 20:20, if you believe his prophets, you will prosper. If you don't, you won't. Hallelujah. They've been taught to believe, Jesus told them, him, but faith must be released in words through your mouth. You can have what you say. But Kenneth, you're going to have to do three times as much preaching and teaching about the saying part as you've been doing on the believing part to get folks to see it. I read that and I thought that's what I need to do then. If that's what Jesus told the prophet he needed to do, that's what I need to do. Why? Because that's how teachers operate in the New Testament. The prophet gets a revelation from the Holy Ghost and shares it with the teachers,
and the teachers pick it up and teach it to the body. So, I saw from that revelation, then I must do three times more teaching on saying than on believing. And that's what we're doing here tonight. And that's what we're going to do again next week. And that's what we're going to do every time the Holy Spirit puts it on my heart. Amen. Jesus said, your words will come to pass. I want to ask you, what kind of things are coming out of your mouth? What kind of things are coming out of your mouth as you turn to Matthew chapter 15 in your Bible, if you would? Amen? Hallelujah. What kind of things are coming out of your mouth? Do you choose what you say? Or do you just say what you choose? Did you hear that? Do you choose carefully what you say and watchfully what you say? Or do you just say any old thing you choose? Where did I ask you to go? Mark chapter 15? Hallelujah. 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 Jesus said the words that come out of your mouth come to pass in your life. He said the words that come out of your mouth come to pass in your life. Barbara, come up here again, please. This is the Holy Spirit, see? So peremenegisho koporodosha te kimana gadesate.
Let those who have ears hear. I'm speaking to you tonight specifically because there's a specific job to be done here on Cape Cod.
Yes, eki peroto semberegea. Vrando brasekebere gadesha toke meregesate.
Listen closely. Listen prayerfully. Take heed to what is being shared here tonight by my spirit through my servant, and I will use you greatly here on Cape Cod.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Most people, most Christians think that believing alone is enough. But Jesus said believing alone is not enough. Amen? We must stop talking failure and limitation. We must stop speaking the problem and speak the solution. Jesus Christ actually said to Charles Capps one day, yes, speak the solution to the problem, otherwise it's contamination. Couldn't have said it better myself, Dorothy.
Amen?
Amen? Jesus actually, now these men are prophet teachers of God that we're referring to here tonight. One person, a friend of mine, for decades, tried to push me away from the teaching of Kenneth Hagin because it convicted him. So he tried to get me to change. Instead of him coming up higher, he wanted me to come down lower. Instead of him tightening up, he wanted me to loosen up. He said to me, you got your eyes on man with this Kenneth Hagin stuff. So you don't even know what you're talking about. I don't have my eyes on man. I have my eyes on the Word of God. The man's a prophet of God. I'm a teacher, also called to a prophetic office. I am to submit to a prophet. All pastors should be submitting to a prophet. All pastors and teachers should be submitting to a prophet of God. The Bible says the foundation of the very church is built on apostles and prophets. That's why the devil doesn't want people believing in those two offices today. The religious world will tell you. Carnal Christianity will tell you apostles and prophets don't exist anymore. They passed away with the early church, but you won't find that in the Bible. Amen? This man said to me, you got your eyes on man. I said, I don't have my eyes on man. I've got my eyes on a ministry office. And I believe with all my heart, based upon Paul's teachings to the Ephesians, when God hooks you up with the prophet, he never intends for you to separate yourself from him. Never. I'm not going to do it. I don't even know where that brother is today. Amen. I don't know if he's dead or alive or backslid. He just dropped out of sight because he didn't want to change. Amen. Got your eyes on man. Don't have my eyes on man. I got my eyes on the office of the prophet and teacher and Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, and Charles Capps. Amen. I'm not going to let the controversy that the devil surrounds them with get me out of the will of God. I read my own Bible. I know what my Bible says. Amen. I'm sticking with them. And Charles Capps said that Jesus Christ spoke to him one day and said, Charles, my people can have whatever they say. The problem is they keep saying what they have. Woo! I thought, that's Mark 11:23. That's Mark 11:23. Amen. Hallelujah. Your life circumstances are going to run parallel to the words that you speak. That's why I'm encouraging everybody in this church, never again submit to the temptation to say, where are the people? We don't do that. Barbara and I don't do that. As hard as it is, we don't do that. Because we know we're speaking contamination, as Dorothy just said, over the local church when we do that. God said He'll send explosive growth. But first we're going to be tested. First we're going to be proven. Amen? That's just Bible. That's just Deuteronomy chapter 8. Amen? If God can't trust us with a little work, He's not going to trust us with a big work. God said that if you're faithful over little things, you'll be made faithful over bigger things. Amen? You don't just jump to the top. You work your way up progressively. Me and you and us together. Amen? Hallelujah. Charles Capps, God bless him in his crew cut. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, Jesus said, my people can have what they say. Problem is, Charles, they keep saying what they have. Amen? Our lives correspond with our circumstances. Unless you're being tested and proven by God. You know what I'm trying to say here. But basically, overall, your life is a result today of what you were speaking yesterday. I give you examples all the time. I got a few more here tonight. He's such a little monster, I'll never get him to stop behaving that way. Okay, you're raising the monster. And he's just going to get worse and not better because of the words of your mouth. You ever hear people say that over their children? I've had people, and I've corrected them for saying things like that, whining and bawling and squalling about an out-of-control child, and I tell them what Jesus said in the Bible. And they say, Pastor, it's not possible to do that. I say, okay, praise the Lord. You're correcting Almighty God. You're not telling me I'm wrong. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I preach it. I didn't write it. You're correcting Almighty God when you say things like, I don't care how positively I speak over that child, she's always going to be crazy. Well, then she's always going to be crazy. Because Jesus said you're going to have exactly what you say, not what you pray. You can't pray that God will calm a child down and go speak against what you prayed. You labor it in vain. Amen? The vision the Lord gave me, the man digging holes and filling the one in right behind him as he went right on down the line. The Lord said to me, he's laboring in vain. That's what my people do when they pray one way and they talk another. Hallelujah. Here's another one. All the women in my family suffer from one form of cancer or another. I've heard this. I guess it's just a matter of time until I get it. I say, you're right. It's just a matter of time till you get it, because that's the way you're talking. You're opening the door up to the devil. Instead of binding his authority to put cancer in your body, cancer's a curse of the law, and Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law. And instead of binding his authority to put cancer in your body, you're opening up the door and you're telling him, come on in for a pajama party. Come on in and stay. And he'll do just that too. Amen. Oh, come on, you stupid computer. I wish I never bought this piece of junk. All it does is crash and burn. No wonder. Amen. Just some illustrations up here. Hallelujah. The bank's never going to give us that money. You kidding me? The bank's never going to loan us that kind of money. You kidding me? The bank's never going to approve us for that kind of a loan. Are you kidding me? We're lucky we still get the lollipops when we go through the drive-up window. That's not funny. That's pathetic. Amen? You can't talk that way. You can't talk that way. The devil's got us cursing ourselves with common sayings. Cute and funny, they're not cute and funny. Amen? Jesus said, oh, God knows I don't mean it. Yes, he does know that you don't mean it. But you're supposed to know you're going to get it whether you mean it or not. You don't even have to believe in it for it to be true. Words are containers, and they contain life and death. Amen? Oh, this pain in my back. Oh, this pain in my back. This is just what Mary kept saying she had before she died, or whatever that horrible thing was that I can't even pronounce. It's probably the same thing Mary had. Well, probably it's going to turn into the same thing Mary had. Amen? You probably just had a little bit of gas, and now you're pronouncing cancer and death over yourself. That's what happens. It is. Bible says in the book of Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. Amen? We ignore the faith message, and we blame the devil for things we're doing to ourselves with the words of our mouths. Anybody getting anything out of this tonight? Hallelujah. Where are you? In Matthew chapter 15? Let's do this. You know, Proverbs chapter 6, 2 says that you're snared with the words of your mouth, and you are taken by the words of your mouth. Matthew 15. Yes, Lord. Barbara, stand up here again, please. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Se que pero dos quebe, era dens de qui morgosta, ga pera de sho caparo de semene, e ge pera dasho ge pera ge shetea.
Don't be offended what you hear here tonight, because I'm speaking it to you in love. Offenses of the devil, your enemy. You tell him to get lost. This is a love family session tonight.
Oh, hallelujah. So, perendeke tiki shorogo do segi perade shetege, brando seki paradaso brageshe tiki peradusha.
Listen to your spirit. Listen to your the Holy Spirit down in your belly. Listen to the Spirit. He will lead you and guide you in the way you should go. He'll give you the green light on what I'm saying is true, and he'll give you the red light when the enemy comes to try to steal it from you.
Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Yes, yes, yes. We bind the spirit of offense in this place tonight in Jesus' name. We're not offended by God's word. Amen? Hallelujah. Look right here in Matthew chapter 15. So porogo se perreke sete. Look at Matthew 15:1. Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem, saying, why do thy disciples transgress the traditions of the elders? For they wash not their hands when they eat bread. Jesus' disciples weren't washing their hands before they ate. They should have been. Amen? Jump down to verse 10. And he called the multitude, and he said unto them, for time's sake, we'll just take a big piece out of here. You'll get what's being said here. He called the multitude and said unto them, hear and understand. Keeping in mind, the scribes and Pharisees and Sadducees were offended they were eaten before washing their hands. It's not that which goeth into the mouth that defileth the man, but that which cometh out of the mouth, that defileth a man. You see that? You see what he said? He said, you shouldn't be so concerned about my disciples not washing their hands before putting food in their mouths. You shouldn't be as concerned as you should be about the words that come out of your mouth, because it's not what goes into your mouth that defiles you. It's what comes out of your mouth that contaminates, as Dorothy just said, you. Jump down, if you would, verse 15. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Master, declare unto us this parable. What are you talking about? And Jesus said, are ye also yet without understanding? Are you still not getting it, Peter? Do not ye yet understand that whatsoever entereth in at the mouth goes into the belly and is cast out into the drought or the draught? The word is actually privy. It says secret sitting place. Amen? What you put in your mouth goes into your belly and is cast off as waste. But those things which proceed out of the mouth proceed from the heart or the spirit of man, as we saw last week, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceedeth evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornications, thefts, false witness, blasphemies, these are the things which defile a man. But to eat with unwashed hands defileth not a man or a man's life. If you eat with unwashed hands, you probably could get sick if you do that habitually. Amen? But it won't defile your whole life. It won't corrupt your whole life. But Jesus said, words unfitly spoken from the human mouth can defile your entire existence. Now, Jesus wrote that, not me. He said, whatever you infuse your heart with is going to come out of your mouth ultimately and come to pass in your life. You understand in this, aren't you, tonight? Amen? Whatever you infuse into your spirit ultimately is going to turn right around and come out your mouth. That's why soap operas, pop music, country music, gangster rap, pornography, trashy novels. I got a little list here. Non-selective TV and movie viewing. They seem innocent. And religion tells you it's perfectly okay. God understands. I don't mean any harm in anything by it. But Jesus said you can't do it. You can't put that stuff into your spirit through your eyes and through your ears. This is the same way faith comes, through your eyes and through your ears. Corruption and unbelief and destruction comes through the eye gate and through the ear gate. Now, Jesus said this. He said, you can't put this stuff in without it coming out your mouth, ultimately, in some form or another, and coming to pass in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. 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 So berugesigi peruta samanegeste. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We need to watch what we say. We need to watch what we say. Or crisis will come. Tragedy will come. Unnecessarily. Charles Capps wrote an awesome, tremendous book called Why Tragedy Happens to Christians. You ought to read it. You ought to put that in your notes and pick it up. I might even have a copy available. If somebody wants to borrow that, go to Matthew chapter 12. We'll close with this. I surely hope nobody's offended by God's word in here tonight. Amen? Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Some middle-aged women giving up believing God, will send them a good godly man. Amen? I don't know why I'm saying that, but I'm saying it. Some middle-aged women are giving up believing God, can send them a good believing husband. Amen? They believe that middle age is too young for Medicare and too old for men to care. You get that? They think middle age is too young for Medicare and too old for men to care. But it's not true. Amen? If you desire to be married, that's the desire of God on the inside of you. It doesn't matter how old you are. God will bring your mate into your life if you'll stop saying ridiculous, stupid things like it's too late. It's too late. It's too late. As long as there's breath in your lungs, it's not too late. And I just said that to somebody by the Spirit of God. Amen? So where did I ask you to go? Okay, we'll close with this. Amen? This was good tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You ought to lay your head on the pillow every night and say, Holy Spirit of God, precious Spirit of God, you just tell me if I said anything today I shouldn't have said that I don't want to come to pass in my life, and I'll rip it up by the roots, I'll repent of it, and I give you my word, I won't do it again. These are Jesus' words here that we're looking at here tonight. Amen? Let's go right here, verse 35. Jesus is rebuking religious leaders again. The Pharisees, telling them he's casting out evil spirits by the spirit of the devil. Let's go to verse 34. He said, you generation of snake faces, how can ye, call them vipers, how can you being evil speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. That's what I was just saying to you about putting soap operas in there, secular trashy TV that doesn't glorify God, movies that don't glorify God, novels and reading things that don't glorify God. If Jesus said if you put it in your spirit, it's ultimately going to come out of your mouth and come to pass in your life. That's why we are so selective. We'll watch children's movies before we'll watch some of the trash that's out there. We want to just take a break and watch a movie? We'll watch a children's movie. Because I'm not going to put stuff in me that I'm going to start talking and come to pass in my life. Amen? I came to Jesus because I had enough with crisis and I had enough with nothing but tragedy. And I had enough of things happening to me and not happening for me. I came to find out what I was doing wrong, what could I do right, and live a better life. Amen? Be a better man, a better husband, a better father, a better minister, a better person. Amen? A good man, Jesus said in verse 35, out of the good treasure of the heart, bringeth forth good things. See, he's talking about putting something in your heart. Put the word in your heart, it'll come out of your mouth, and you'll bring to pass good things in your life, or bring forth good things in your life. And an evil man, out of the evil treasure, put all that secular stuff in you, will bring forth evil things. How? They'll come out of your mouth. But I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. For by thy words thou shalt be justified, not only here in this life, but at the bema judgment seat of Christ. And by thy words, say words, thou shalt be condemned. Would you stand up, please? Jesus said, by your words you'll be justified, by your words you'll be condemned. Listen, we can't emphasize this enough. Amen. Jesus told Dr. Hagin, you're going to have to do 3 times more teaching on the saying part of faith than you're doing on the believing part. Amen. And that's what we endeavor to do. You notice I always come back round to it. Amen. I always come back around to teaching on faith. No matter what I'm teaching about, I ultimately always find my way back to the power of words. I want to ask you to make a commitment here tonight. I know we've made one recently before the Lord when we talked about the power of words. I want to ask you to make a commitment that when you come together as believers, on the telephone, out in the hallway, up in the lobby, in restaurants, wherever you come together as brothers and sisters in the Lord and members of the gathering, to never again speak against the will of God for this church. To never do it again. To never do it again. To please never, ever again say things such as, where are the people? The teaching's good. There's just got to be, God, where are the people? If only there were. That's unbelief. That's the Thomas kind of faith. That's looking at natural circumstances. Amen? Jesus said you'll have what you say. Amen? Let's have the Abraham kind of faith. Let's make a commitment, dedicate, reconsecrate ourselves as of this very night, October 29th, 1 year anniversary of the word that the Lord gave through Reverend Jim Dykson, said, I'll give you explosive growth. Let's never speak against that prophecy again. One person doing it can hinder it for everybody. You break an agreement. Jesus said, if we come together in agreement as touching anything on earth, it'll be done by the Father who's in heaven. One person speaking against the will of God for this church breaks the agreement for all of us. Amen? Hallelujah. And we're at the size right now, temporarily, short term, to where something that small can affect us. And it can hurt us. Amen? If we had the manifestation of a much bigger church, one or two people can't do that to you at that point because the faith of others will override it. But when we're just a small group at the moment, and one or two get out of agreement and start speaking against the will of God, it has tremendous impact, and we have to constantly overcome that. Do you see that? Oh, God, we're accountable for what we know now. We're responsible for what we know now. God brought us to this place. He brought us to this place. October 29th, the 1 year anniversary of the word of the Lord, where he said, I'll give you explosive growth. Watch what you say when you come together. Watch what you say when you speak to one another. When you speak to others, ask the Holy Ghost to give you wisdom. When people ask you questions about how the church is doing, are you still small? Are you big? How many? Ask the Holy Ghost to give you wisdom to answer that person by faith. Amen? And he will do it for you. Say, Father, I covenant with the pastor and his wife to never again speak words of doubt against the gathering. We believe we receive explosive growth as of this night, October 29th, 2008, the fulfillment of your word. We will wage warfare now, according to that prophecy which was spoken over us. And we will have what we say. We say we are a large church. We are a great church. We are doing a great work for a great God. We say it. We believe it. And that settles it. Now worship Him for His holiness. Has anybody told God He's holy today? Praise Him for His holiness. Praise Him for His holiness. Praise Him for His holiness. Praise Him for His goodness and His holiness. And worship Him.